I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. This week, I talked to comedian, author, musician, and actress Margaret Cho. Margaret is one of the most prolific and versatile comics working today. She has had several stand-up specials, including The Notorious CHO, Revolution, and Sideshow, and is the author of books like I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight, and her national bestseller, I'm the One That I Want. Margaret just released a new music album, American Myth. I talked with her about her new record, Bjork, and the similarities between comedians and rock stars. Margaret, are you excited for your album to drop in the next day or so?
I am. I'm very excited. I mean, it's a project that I love. I make music all the time, but I don't release a lot of it, so this is a nice thing to be able to do.
Margaret, I grew up in the 90s, and I got to tell you, it was so fun for me to go through. I listened to three or four of the tracks online, and I just loved to go, oh, there's Courtney Love influence, and there's a Garbage influence. It was so fun for me to sort of listen to it and pick up on all these influences that I grew up loving.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. Yes, very, very big Shirley Manson fan, very, very big Courtney Love fan. For me, this album is kind of like a 90s record. Like, it's like a,
right.
I wanted to make like a Juliana Hatfield record or a Belly record. And so I feel like I've accomplished that.
And in several different styles, too, which I found pretty impressive.
Oh, thank you. That's Garrison Starr. You know, she's so versatile, and she and I collaborated on this, and she helped me so much, and we worked together a lot, and she's an incredible singer-songwriter in her own right, so it's great.
When did you start singing? Has that been a lifelong thing?
Yeah, I think I've been singing my family were very involved in, like, singing in choirs, and like my parents are both musicians, so I got started on that pretty early. But I started to sing more, I think, in my comedy and in general. Like, I would close shows with a song, and so that maybe got more involved in my work about 10 years ago. But
mm-hmm.
I've always hung around musicians and comedians. I mean, it's something that is a natural fit. Musicians and comics always hang out.
And I noticed, too, you had a podcast that had several, like, I want to say, like, 130, 140 episodes. And I would say a majority of your guests were musicians on that podcast. Is that fair?
Yes, yes. Our friends, John Worster and Bob Mould, and a lot of people that sort of are in both worlds, like Fred Armisen,
mm-hmm.
in both communities. And for me, the skill, the musicianship of all these people that we got to interview is really important. All those guys from Wilco, they certainly influenced me as just like a great example of how to be an excellent player. You know, that's
right.
Really inspiring.
Do you think that being a lead singer in a band is similar to being on stage as a stand-up comedian? What's the relationship there?
Well, you have this need to connect with the audience and that sort of represent the band, but also you're the one that talks in general. So that they always like jokes there. Some guys are funny. Some people are just don't talk at all. Like Bjork doesn't say anything.
Right.
The same song.
Right.
So there's a different approach that everybody has. But I think that's why there is a connection between musicians and comics, that we understand each other's role.
Margaret started doing stand-up in her teens in a comedy partnership with actor Sam Rockwell. She told me about her early friendship with Jerry Seinfeld and how earlier this year, that friendship resulted in a very unique, positive experiment after Margaret had a tough night in a New Brunswick comedy club.
I think I probably like started my professional stand-up career at about 16,
mm-hmm.
17. I was early on able to open for Jerry Seinfeld, which was a very, very big deal. And
wow.
I still work with him now, which I love. I love him so much. He's just a really important person in my life, an important figure to emulate. So I've been really lucky.
And of course, too, I love the thing. I love comedians in cars getting coffee. And that whole experience at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick and the do-over thing was unlike anything I had ever seen or heard of before. And I just thought it was one of the
yeah.
most unique comedic showbiz things I've ever seen. How was that experience for you? Was it strange? Or I mean, it turned out to be such a positive thing, I feel like.
Yes, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful, and it was really, I think that it was a great feeling to be able to go back to this club. I really support the club because it's a small business. It's a standalone club. It's owned by a comedian, and those are the places where comedy really grows. And if you like want to think about like the metaphor there, the 90s metaphor is you got to feed the tree. You know, you have to go back and feed the tree, and where comedy comes from, you have to respect that. And so, you know, the first show had not gone well. And so then I thought, I'll go back and I want to talk to the audience, because I don't bomb like a normal comic. Like when I bomb, people are like going to kill me. And I've always wanted to go back and find out why they got so mad and why I got so mad. And so it was a really healing thing. And it was fun for Jerry too, like that we filmed it all for Comedians in Cars, which was really, I think, an important thing. I think comics get so angry at audiences at times, and really, it's a partnership. You've got to have both together on this. So it was a way for me to honor people who come to shows and people who want that live entertainment, and to respect that.
Margaret, when you started stand up relatively early, very early, it seems to me. What was one of your first big breaks? Was it a stand-up special? Was it a TV appearance? What was it?
I got to be on Golden Palace, which was the spinoff of The Golden Girls.
Oh, wow.
And
I did not know about that show.
Yeah, I actually sang on it. Rue McClanahan hummed, I just sang a cappella, and she hummed the note into my ear so that I could get the pitch right, and it was really, really terrifying. But that was probably one of my first jobs in TV, and Quentin Tarantino had just done an episode where he was an Elvis impersonator. So that show was so interesting because I had Don Cheadle and of course the Golden Girls, except for B. Arthur, and so that was kind of a big deal. And then I did a lot of the stand-up specials in all sorts of different capacities, whether it was sort of the one-shots of Evening at the Improv or MTV's Half Hour Comedy Hour, and then my own specials, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of traction there in the 90s.
I remember, Margaret, I swear, I remember like it was yesterday when I first saw previews for All American Girl growing up, because you looked at your TV in the midst of Mad About You and The Single Guy and Seinfeld. All of a sudden, you had this young Korean woman as the star of the show. And you were so young then. How old were you when All American Girl came out?
We started, I was 23 when we started the development process.
You were a sweet young angel.
Long time ago. Very young. I look at it now and it's so, for me, it really holds up. Like, I feel like, oh, this show was really ahead of its time and I wish that we could have done more, but it was fun to do it. And we had Jack Black on. I remember Jack Black was part of a band and we would go see them in the show, in the structure of the show, and David Cross is on it, and Quentin did a very, very, like, sort of extensive Pulp Fiction parody on our show, so it was really nice to do.
And you can just touch on it briefly if you don't mind, but I was fascinated about some of the network notes you got at the time about either being too Asian or not Asian enough, even though you're playing yourself.
Right. It was weird. I think there was this need for, because we had never happened before, that there was this need for people to sort of feel like there was an accuracy to it, which is so weird to think about now. So they were always sort of pressuring us to be authentic, which is what we were, but it was a strange pressure to be under.
Margaret is a dedicated activist on behalf of LGBTQ causes. I talked to her about her history of activism and the important advice she received from legendary comedian Joan Rivers.
That's a part of my upbringing. You know, I grew up in San Francisco, in the midst of the AIDS crisis, and to, you know, work for the community, to talk about AIDS, to do a lot of AIDS fundraisers, then was how I developed initially as a stand-up comedian. So it's always been something, maybe it's San Francisco, maybe it's just the fact that all the people around me were big supporters of Harvey Milk very early on, and his assassination was so devastating that we all needed to carry on and keep going with his work. And so that's what inspired me.
Wow. I'd be curious to ask you, and you seem just so well-rounded and so worldly, and when I listen to you on your podcasts and when I've listened to you, interviews and things like that, Is there pieces of advice that have stuck with you through your life, whether it be professional advice or personal advice? Is there any one or two things that you can think of that have really stuck with you through the years?
Well, I think, thank you. But I think Joan Rivers gave me the best. It's like she always was trying to get into my head, like that I'm always going to, you're always going to work. You're always going to be wanted. They're always going to want you because you're funny. That's all that matters. And so for me, that sort of stuck with me, that if you do comedy, you can have as long of a career as you want, that it's not dependent on your age or your physical ability even. It's just that the way to make jokes is like that's such a rare trait. So it's something to be celebrated.
Margaret's new album, American Myth, is available now on iTunes or Amazon.com. For more information, visit Margaret's website at margaretcho.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.